Hello, gay men, and welcome to Coming Inside Out. I am John Durler.
I'm Brian James.
Brian, how are you? It's been a while.
It has been a while. Happy Thanksgiving, buddy.
Happy Thanksgiving to you. Did you have a good one?
I did. I thought we would talk about that because I have some kind of funny stuff about Thanksgiving
and
my family to share with you.
So, well, let's hear it.
Well, yeah, so it's interesting because I'm taking perspective on a lot of things happening, you know, with my family, with my children, just life in general.
Mm-hmm.
And I was looking back at how Thanksgiving used to look as I was growing up and in my teens and early 20s, and how boys were boys and girls were girls, and you looked how you were supposed to look, and that was it. And I'm at Thanksgiving and I'm looking around and I'm out and gay. My son is dressed very feminine.
Mm-hmm.
My brother's daughter is dressed very masculine. She's a lesbian.
Uh-huh.
Hope I can say that on here. My sister's husband, my brother-in-law, he's like, I call him a geek, but not in a mean sense because he's an IT
more of a compliment
person.
More
he's like a geeky dude.
Yeah.
They have a daughter. He went with her to get a pedicure, so he has his toenails painted two different colors.
All right.
And then my niece's 3.5-year-old son has his fingernails painted.
Okay. Yeah.
Just like, when we were growing up, that would have never existed. And so to just be in a house full of people where everybody is
freedom
showing up as themselves and totally being accepted, I just thought that was so cool.
Okay, I have a perspective here.
All right,
later. How did it go? How was the whole tone of the day? How was it?
It was the best Thanksgiving I've had in probably as long as I could remember.
Because my theory is everyone's free. Everyone is free to be who they are, what they want to do, and there's no judgment there. And how beautiful is that? That's a great Thanksgiving.
I think that I wasn't worked up. I didn't go there charged because when I see my family, a lot of times I'm charged.
Yeah.
But I wasn't charged because I was missing my younger son because we didn't get to see him. He's at training in the Marine Corps.
Yeah.
So we didn't get to see him. So I just wanted to love on my older son and just be grateful to be with those that I was able to be with because I didn't have him with me.
That's fantastic.
Yeah.
That's fantastic. What did I do? I'm glad you asked. I'm glad you asked. Thank you. What did I do for Thanksgiving? How was mine? You know, no, it's interesting. And maybe some people can identify to this. I was planning on not having Thanksgiving with my future ex-wife here.
Okay.
And the boys. I thought, you know what? We've been doing this for the last 8 years. Those of you who are just joining us, you know, I haven't officially divorced yet, but you know, we're there. We've served each other and it's happening. And I thought, maybe this time I'll just let them have their Thanksgiving because I took the boys before Thanksgiving. I took the boys last week. Before Thanksgiving, took him to Vegas.
I saw the pictures of the football game and everything.
We went to the football, went to the Raiders game. And it was an event because, you know, I've got one of my best friends and he's a business partner of mine. He has a private suite.
Wow.
In Allegiant Stadium.
It looks sweet.
I
saw the photos. It looked like a good time.
It was a great time. So I got to bring the boys, and then one of my good friends, he always gives us tickets to the USC game, and then a buddy of mine there. And I was under the impression that the suite, because the suite holds 22 seats privately, and then you have the bar in the back, and then you have, anyway, it was just us. No one else was there. I mean, I could have invited so many more people, you know, because this much, I mean, not a lot of people get to do this. And it was lovely. The boys, we did that, and then we went and played Top Golf. I don't know if anybody's ever done Top Golf. That's fun. And they just loved Vegas, and we had such a great time. I had a really good time with my boys. So I thought, okay, we had our one-on-one time, and I would have been okay to let, you know, Jill have the boys. But then she goes, well, do you want to come? And I'm like, well, yeah, I guess I'll do it. And I did it. And, you know, we got in an argument. I'm like, oh, fuck. You know,
was it just the four of you?
It was just the four of us.
Okay.
And, you know, Jackson and I went and volunteered that Thursday morning over at the American Legion for the veterans. Okay. He and I did that. And then Jill and Liam were going to go ahead and cook. And that was it. So we get back and we had already, she goes, yeah, take him. He's not going to help. Jackson's not going to help in the kitchen. Take him. I did. We came back. And then Jackson and I are just chilling out watching TV. And then she gets pissed because we're laying around not doing the things. So, and I'm sorry I took a big circle to get to this point. But I'm like, wow, you know, I don't want to do this.
Yeah.
Anymore.
I get that.
And so I'm glad to hear that you had that, the freedom. It's a new one. It's a new beginning. And I know, and maybe there's some of you out there thinking like, when am I going to do this? Or what am I, you know, it's going to happen. But I was excited because I know probably next year it's not going to be like that.
Yeah.
And so,
all right.
You know.
Well, you know, I spent two Thanksgivings by myself. One Thanksgiving, my family rented a house and my ex-wife went and I didn't want to go with her.
Yeah.
So I'm like, you know what? You go. I have my dog. So it was going to be hard for me to go anyways.
Yeah.
And then I think it was last year, I just was not feeling it. Mm-hmm. And I took my dog and I went to the beach.
For Thanksgiving.
And my ex is, I've shared this before, is very close to my family. She's known my family since junior high school.
Okay.
So she is as much a part of them as I am.
Right.
So I was like, you know what? I'm just going to let her go and spend time with the family.
With your family?
Yeah. But because she's known them since junior high school.
I love it. No, I mean, look.
So she went and I took my dog and I just went to the beach.
You did your thing.
And I did my thing. But
We
were all there together this year.
And well, that's fun. I mean, seriously, I think that was, I'm glad you shared that because your brother-in-law had the toenail painted. I mean, everyone was just, you know, traditionally.
You just
know. Do you have, I want to ask you this, do you have of the biggest, because this is what I did with my family since we're not all together there in Texas. We group text.
Yeah.
I go, what's one of your most favorite memories of Thanksgiving growing up? What was good? What was your memory?
Well, you know, my father's Armenian, so I grew up in a big Armenian family in Glendale.
Oh, well, hold on.
A lot of grandparents, my grandparents, aunts, uncles, cousins, all kinds of. So I just remember going to my grandparents' house at Thanksgiving time. You know, you're like 10 years old and you got a new shirt that you got to wear or whatever. You got new pants shoes or whatever it was. And you would go there and all the cousins would be there and we'd just be running around stealing candy out of the candy dishes that my grandmother had laying around or whatever like that. And just, I mean, it was fun as a kid. Those were my best memories.
It is because there's no hang-ups. You're just a kid, and you should enjoy yourself, which maybe you were a kid again this last Thanksgiving. You enjoyed yourself.
It was interesting because, you know, since we've put this on my personal Facebook page and we've been promoting this podcast, my niece came up to me. She's like, oh, I'm really enjoying your podcast. My niece said that to me, and I said, what? You're listening to my podcast? She's like, oh, yeah, I listen to your podcast. And so, like a wave of anxiety came over me. And I thought, oh, what have I been saying on that podcast? and then my mom told me that she's listening.
Your mom's listening? That's great.
And my older sister comes walking out. She's like, oh, where is it on YouTube? I want to listen to it, too. And I was like, oh, my God. My family's listening to this podcast.
That's, you know what? It's funny. It's so funny. Your niece, my nephew, texted me, oh my God, Uncle John, I've been listening to your podcast. Me and I think her name's Diane. Oh, sorry. Is it Diane? Blake, correct me if I'm wrong. Sorry. But they're, you know, in Tyler, they have a horse farm.
Right.
And they're just like listening to my podcast. And go, Uncle John, I love it. It's great.
Isn't that crazy? I never thought that we would have people that this didn't relate to directly.
Right.
Listening to it. But yeah.
I think it does. And you know what? I kind of prejudge the younger generation of that. Okay, you know, they're like, oh, this is cool. And I'm like, and I just like you, I'm like, oh my God, what have I said? What, you know? I think we've said it all.
This last episode was the most we've said.
Was it? I don't remember.
I was asking for a friend, remember?
I do remember. I do remember.
That was for a friend. I'm going to bring something up.
Yeah.
I've had two friends that I've known since, one of them since preschool, mm-hmm. the other one since first grade. Everybody else that's in my life has kind of come into my life as I've had kids or through work, but these are two people that I've known my entire life. One of them has been reaching out to me since COVID, and I have been blowing him off.
Blowing him?
No, he lives in another state, but he was texting me and I'm like, oh, I'm so busy, I'm sorry. And then he's calling me and hey, listen, I'm over here. And I can't talk.
Who's this again?
This is the guy that I've gone to school with since kindergarten.
Kindergarten, okay.
He found out through Facebook that I came out as gay. I never told him. Yeah. And I have had avoidance with him. And what I wrote down here is being abandoned by others versus being the person that abandons relationships. A lot of men get abandoned by people when they come out as gay, but I'm realizing that I've abandoned people since I came out as gay. And I'm like, holy shit. This guy starts texting me like a couple weeks ago. He's like, hey, I really want to talk to you. Hey, come on, come on. You know, what's going on? And whatever. And he's like, oh, you know, I thought you met somebody and they would be jealous if you had another male friend. And that's why you weren't getting back to me. And I said, no, you know, I just really didn't want to explain myself. Kind of. And so for 4 years, he texts me, I text him back, he calls me, I'm like, hey, I'm not available. I got on the phone with him 2 weeks ago, had like an hour and change conversation with him. He was so kind and loving to me. Knowing me my entire life, he said the most loving things to me. He also has listened to the podcast because he saw it posted on Facebook and just had the kindest response to me. And I thought, oh my God, because I didn't want to explain myself to this friend, I abandoned the friendship. And I did that for the last 4 years. And, you know, I guess some people are worried they're going to come up to their family and the reaction. I was worried that there was going to be a reaction from him.
Right.
And I didn't want to explain myself. So,
no, I have that. There's part of me that's fucking tired of coming out.
Yeah.
And I've talked to gay people all the time. They're like, it never ends. It never ends. And it's just part of life. There's a few of my friends on Facebook. I'm sure there's stuff that has, you know, people have seen me or listened to this, but they haven't come back to approach me like, hey, I saw, you know, maybe they know, maybe they don't know. And I'm getting,
and
I'm
maybe
getting
to the point. I'm a family member or other friend.
And look, something. I don't have a book here that I write and tell everyone I've come out. I'm like, did I come out? Did that person? I don't remember. And so if it comes up organically, at least that's where I'm kind of in my head right now. If it comes up organically, then it comes up. But, you know, there's a really good friend of mine from sixth grade that, you know, I haven't come out to. And, you know, I talked to him. Hey, I'm coming into town, but just haven't, you know.
All right. So you still talk to him, but you haven't come out to him.
Right.
All right. This guy knew that I had come out, but I've been avoiding
you. Avoided.
Okay. But so that's interesting. So you're still hiding part of yourself because you're not sharing with him. Why is that? Is it embarrassment? Is it shame? Is it you're not truthful with him?
And I'll tell you what. There's part of I'm just tired of coming out.
Okay.
Fuck. I
come out every Tuesday.
It's like, okay, you know, I don't have a quota. Yeah. I don't have a quota, but I love the guy. He's been one of my best friends growing up. But, you know, we've lost touch. And, you know, there's, I don't know, I see all these sayings on TikTok or whatever, a friendship, you know, can, you can have a friendship, you know, that you don't speak to for years, but, you know, you still are the best friends.
That's and this still- guy. I will pick up the phone after not talking to him for a year, and we pick up like we had just talked on the phone 3 days before.
Yeah.
We have a bond.
And there's another thing, I don't know, because it's like, I don't want it to be all about me. I don't want it to be all about me. I want to see how he's doing, how his family's doing. And there's times that I would just come out, but there just really wasn't a time to do it.
Do you think that there would be a negative reaction or there's something preventing you?
Yeah, I think so. I mean, his wife, I think his wife, who I've known forever, too, they grew up. And I think they, you know, yeah, and I'm prejudging them.
Okay.
I'm totally prejudging them, but, you know, they're not in my life every day. So it's not like a, you know, it's not like I have to, or I live in the same town as they do. So, you know, there's part of that. Yeah.
All right. Well, that kind of bleeds into what I wrote here next with your friend. Number five.
Thank you.
You know, I just jotted down some notes for this episode. I have so much love for my children that I could never turn my back on my kids. I love them so much. And that, you know, if there's somebody that turns their back on us, it's not about us.
Right.
It's about them.
Sure. You're right.
And we personalize and internalize this as, oh, it's they've abandoned us. They've left us. They hate us. They whatever.
We prejudge them. Just like my friend and his wife.
Prejudge
them.
That they're going to turn their back on you.
No.
Or that your relationship is somehow going to shift from that.
Yeah.
But in reality, it's not about us. It is about them.
Yeah. Yeah.
I get and, you know, I look at my Facebook Messenger all the time.
Of course you do.
You don't look at your Facebook Messenger. And there are so many. I'm like, every day I'm chatting with like 2, 3, 4 people that are listening to the podcast. I'm developing friendships with these people.
Well, they don't have mine. Do they have mine?
All they have to do is go John Durler and send you a private instant message. A lot of them go into spam. You have to go into your spam folder to look for them. And I discovered this months ago, but...
Where's my spam?
Yeah, oh boy. You have to go up here. See, you have the red dot. Do have spam.
Yeah.
Go red dot, and then message requests. I don't know. Your phone is so... John's print on his phone is so big. You're getting letters per page, not paragraphs per page.
That's right. So I can see it.
Very different. So here's the deal with this spam folder is like 95% of it is going to be all sex related and whatever. But there's people that reach out to me.
Oh, spam. Wait.
That's spam. That's going to go for a long time. I don't know. It's going to take a while to load up on yours. But this is kind of what I wanted to talk about. These people are sharing with me, you know, their families are not accepting of them. They're in really bad places right now. It's the holiday time.
Yeah.
They're feeling alone. And I thought, you know, as gay men... I came out at 50, you came out at whatever age you came out at.
49.
Not intentionally, but we have been deceiving people of who we were, loved ones, our wives, our ex-wives. We were deceiving them for years and years and years. We need to allow them time and space to heal from our deception. And there's a lot of men that come out as gay, and I don't want to say a lot of men, some of the people, and you know, I'll include myself in that, you come out as gay and we want immediate approval and acceptance of being gay. Mm-hmm. Well, when you've been deceptive with somebody for 30 years, they're not going to turn a corner in a day, a week, a month, maybe even a year.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and some people, they're kids. Maybe they raised their kids in a way that was not accepting of being gay. And then you come out as gay.
Mm-hmm.
Those people need time.
Yeah.
You know, and we don't get to put the timestamp on you know, how long they're going to be able to heal. But I just thought it was important.
It's interesting you say how we deceive them. In a sense, I'm like, oh, my God, you know, we lived a lie.
Yeah.
We lived a lie. I went to Agape this morning.
Oh, you did?
I did. I went back to this is a church here.
Yes.
And they're online. If you ever want to go online. And you know what you talked about,
Dr. Reverend Michael Beckwith.
Beckwith, yeah. Dr. Beckwith. He talked about you're always changing. Change. And he was talking about change your DNA. Change your DNA. Change who you are. Every day you're changing. Live it. Love it. And it's true. It's really true. Or if you're aspiring to do something, that's what he said. You know, change your DNA. Change the way you think. Change. And you have that. And he's talking about the history of how we were or what we were like when we were kids. We're not like that today.
Nice.
And it was really cool service today. Really cool service. And so I'm digging that. I'm digging that church.
Okay. Oh, I love it too. Yes. And you can. They do stream online. I think they only stream one of the services.
Yeah.
The main one.
Which I think that's 11. 10.
Or 11. Maybe.
The 11. Yeah. But I mean, I'm like, I'm really enjoying that.
Good.
But yeah, you know, take the message. Yeah. But then, you know, I was raised Catholic. What were you raised?
I was raised, so my grandparents were Presbyterian, but I did not.
That's Catholic. Religious.
Yeah, I didn't grow up in a religious house. Well, when you talk about changing, look how much the more you allow yourself to be your true, authentic self,
yes.
I think the more you change,
yeah.
Look how much we have changed. Look how much a lot of our listeners have changed. We've freaking come out as gay, talk about changing our DNA.
Well, that's why I brought it. I'm like, wow, I totally changed my DNA.
Yes.
By coming out, being truthful, and yeah, it's like, you know, we deceive so many people? And there's my nephew calling me right now.
Oh, what if he's listening? This isn't live, but if it was live, we could have had a caller. We could have had our first calling.
Oh, he's my godchild too, because I was raised Catholic, and he's my godchild. Right. He's a good young man
from
He's from Texas. He's such, and he was so loving. I mean. Because I want to cry right now. He's like, I'm so proud of you, Uncle John. I'm so proud of you, you know, just being who you are. You know, and I would have projected him of possibly being upset about it. So that's a perfect example of us prejudging everyone or anyone.
Yeah.
And it is what it is, you know.
And if you're going to come out to them, if you're going to share your authenticity with them, keep in mind that they need the time
to process. Just like I said with my brother. My brother coming out?
Do you have 30 seconds or 1 hour, whatever it was?
Yes. But what was great about it, I kept telling them, for those who haven't heard it
before.
So I was coming out to my brother. Now, coming out to my brother would be like coming out to your father. Because my older brother was like my father growing up because my dad was gone. And so there's that, you know, brother relationship. But there was also that parent-child relationship. And I was like, oh, my God. You know, he's like one of the last ones that I was going to tell. And I texted him and I said, hey, he's back in Texas. I'm here in L.A. Hey, brother, do you have 30 seconds or an hour to get on the phone with me? Because this is when I was going to come out to him. And he texted me back, call me now, I've got time. So I called him and he said, hey, yeah, are you okay? I said, I'm fine. He said, well, what's up? And I said, well, and he goes, oh, by the way, he goes, I'm going through a dead zone here in about 10 minutes. So I'll lose you, but I'll call you back probably 15 minutes after that. And so I came out to him. I said, hey, brother, I'm gay. Oh, fuck you. No, you're not. Yes, Wayne, I'm gay. Fuck you. No, yeah, I am too. You know, so that went on. The banter went on because he couldn't believe it.
Yeah.
You know? And so I go, Wayne, we were disconnected. And so you're talking about having time to think about it. My brother had 15 minutes to say, wait a minute, is this little motherfucker true? Is he bullshitting me? Because we always joke. Yeah. He goes, wait, this could, you know, and then after 15 minutes, the phone call came in. Hey, are you serious? And I'm like, yeah, brother, I am. He goes, yeah, it was fine. It was all good. It was just, you know, it was great. And, you know, but you're right. They need time to process it as well.
And you know, how close they were, how much, none of us deceived intentionally. I don't believe I did not deceive with intention. I deceived because I didn't know who the fuck I was. I really, God, I thought I was going to grow out of this over and over and over. It took me until I was 47 years old to like be like, damn it, Brian, this is not going away. You're fucking gay.
But I think, you know, you're right. But I think we can compartmentalize. And that's what I did. I compartmentalized where I stuck it in a box and I pushed it all the way down and in the back and around the corner.
And then it snuck up on you.
And then you listen, it's manifestation. And I'm straight. I'm not gay. Then you manifest that and you live that until it just starts to boil up.
Yes.
You see Patrick Duffy on that.
Yes. My Speedo. And then it all bets are off.
Did you get that?
Yes. Yes. Dancing. Yes. And then the bar fight. Yes.
Okay, listener. We all know Brian loves Patrick. When he first saw Patrick Duffy in his Speedo,
he came online
like, wait a minute. And so I'm like going through TikTok, and there was just something from Dallas, Principal, Victoria Principal.
Yes.
And, you know, she's beautiful.
Come on, you know beauty.
We all know beauty, yeah, right?
She was beautiful.
But we weren't watching her ass. We were watching Patrick Duffy.
Damn.
And so I had to forward that.
Yeah, I appreciated that. Yeah, that is so funny. I actually looked up Dallas because you can stream it. And I started streaming the first season again. And I was like,
did you get hooked into her?
This is very off topic. The very first house that we're using is different than the house that they used.
That was not their house, that the original house. That was some other house.
So I've watched probably like 5 or 6 of the episodes.
Oh
my God. I do. Yeah. I did love me some Patrick Duffy in his Speedo.
Taking
his little son to the swimming pool. God damn it. That's when I knew.
Yeah.
But, well, you know, I knew that I was attracted to him, but I had no idea what that meant.
But see, that's the other thing, too. You know, we all see beauty. We all, I mean, in a certain way. Mm. And we can appreciate it. I mean, doesn't mean you have to go fuck them, you know? But you see, like, look, man, a lot of straight men check other men out. More on a competitive, I think. This is my theory, and I could be wrong. But because when I was straight, you know, working out with straight men, you know, they're like, oh, look at that fucking dude. Oh, he's got, yeah, he's, it's more of an admiration or jealousy of it. And I'm like,
just a competitive macho.
Well, I think it is a competitive macho thing. I mean, look, women look at other women.
Oh,
and
yes.
It's nothing sexually. It's like, you know, they're admiring, you know, or judging.
Are they? Or they're like
fucking judging.
Cat nails. Like,
I think it's across the board, but I think it's across the board with men and with them and they. You know?
Yeah.
The them and theys are doing it now. Right? I think we all do it. Just to a certain, you know.
I agree with that.
Yeah. Yeah.
Although, you know, if you talk about the gym, I keep saying this because it's true.
Yeah.
The gym is a gay man's church.
Oh, yeah.
So you get all these hunky, good-looking men in there.
Yeah.
And they're there in their tight shorts and their little tank toppy shirts or their
compression gear. Or even in the steam rooms. The steam rooms, you know.
I haven't had an experience in the steam room.
When I was in the sex addicts group, would visit, or I was part of, you know, if you were a man or woman, I mean, it would be if you're attracted to men, do you not go into the wet spaces? Don't go to the wet spaces.
A wet space?
Wet space is the shower.
All right.
The jacuzzi.
All right.
Or the steam room or the sauna.
Wow.
Because that is a definite trigger to act out and to have sex because the gym's like you said. I mean, it's It's all happening in the shower.
Okay. Wow. It's not happening to me in the shower. Let me ask you a question. I'm going to ask you a question. You don't have to answer this because not everything that John and I talk about do we, you know, I don't know anything about you.
Right.
You talk about being in a sex addicts group.
Yeah.
You joined that to pacify your wife at the time because you were coming out as gay, or did you feel at the time that you were truly a sex addict?
I didn't know what a sex addict was, and I didn't do what did you say, Pat?
Appease. Maybe I used the word appease. Yeah,
appease. Appease. I went there just to get help because I'm embarrassed. I was not faithful. I was not faithful.
But does that make you a sex addict because you weren't faithful?
No. No. I mean, my therapist, who is an amazing therapist, she's going to be on. She was like, John, I don't think that you are a sex addict. Okay. I think you're just exploring sexuality and who you are.
Yes.
And so, yeah, no, because, I mean, addiction in my book is if it takes over your normal life, it takes over your work, it takes over and you're not showing up, you can't, then that's an addiction. So it's really how you manage, you know, whoever's, you know, sex, or if you, you know, in the gay community, a blowjob's like a shaking somebody's hand as straight.
Okay. Wow. We hang out with different people.
I mean, seriously, it's like, you know, the gay, you know, it's like, okay, great. Yeah. Oh, what's your name?
Yeah. After the fact,
you know, and so it's all out there. It's there. I mean, men, come on, men, we, at least I'm not going to speak for all men, but I mean, think about the heterosexual men that cheat on their wife.
Yeah.
And they're out there just trying to, you know, I don't know if it's a primal thing of conquering or doing that, you know, it's, but in addiction, I learned a lot, and I learned, I mean, I was in it for years.
Oh, wow.
I was, and, you know, I was probably using it more for therapy as, you know.
Not to meet guys?
No, not to meet, I mean, I have met some extraordinary men in there, extraordinary, gay, bi, straight, you know, I needed that at the time. At the time of my life,
You needed community and a connection.
With sex, because it was part of, you know, because I questioned myself. I didn't know, okay, am I bi? Am I straight? Am I gay? Well, I know I'm not straight. And at the time, my wife at the time, you know, look, I'm not a prude. If you're bisexual, well, we can possibly work this out. But, and she gave it time. You know, and I'm like, no, I'm not bi. And so that was, you know, the end of us, you know.
But your sex addict, when you were going to a Sex Addicts Anonymous group, you were doing that after your wife discovered the emails before?
Yes, after.
After.
Okay. Oh, yeah. After she, after that. Because, I mean, I didn't know.
Yeah.
I didn't know. And so,
All right. I don't know the definition of an addict, but you're right. A person that enjoys having sex is different than a person who's destroying their life over needing to satisfy themselves sexually.
I think so. I mean, look, I'm not a superior being in this. But I just think it's kind of common sense if it's alcohol, if it's drugs, if it's on your phone, my boys, you're always on your phone, there's an addiction there. But, I mean, it can destroy people. It can destroy a lot of people, the addiction. And I thought that I was, and then I'm like, and she's like, I don't think you're an addict.
Yeah.
And I just was educated a little bit more that, you know, at least, you know, I'm not going to say every gay man, you know, like, you know, has sex all the time, but.
You look at me.
I looked at him up and down. But you're a perfect example of that. You know, people are like, oh, gay guys are always fucking. Well, no, they're not.
No, unfortunately, they're not always.
No, but you have such, you know what? You have, I mean, you have great morals that, you know, you didn't cheat on your wife.
No.
And you, I mean, you respected her of that, but yet, yeah, you cheated in your mind.
Yeah, 100%.
You know, but that was your truth. But you weren't out fucking a lot of people.
Yeah.
And doing that. So I think all of our listeners are all on some different type of level that can identify with Brian and that can identify with me.
100%.
That, you know, it's not just in print and it's not just one way.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
So.
Wow. So, I have my hot neighbor.
Yes.
With his husband.
Yeah.
Very hot. Who's invited me to go over there multiple times. The last one was for nude Switch video games. And I'm like, no, that's okay. I'm not going to go.
Switch video.
Go over there and play video games naked.
When was that? When did they answer?
This past weekend. I could have been there right now, but I'm here. And I said no. So
you know, I need to come visit.
You should. Well, listen, I'm going to give you even more reason to come visit me. So last month, I live in a townhouse. There's four units per building.
Mm-hmm.
This hot couple lives in the building next to me, but one of the units in my building sold last month.
Okay.
This gorgeous, gorgeous, thick head of hair, dark skin, just gorgeous man and his wife move into the unit.
Okay.
I meet both of them. I say hi to them. And I'm like, wow, he's really good looking.
Right.
They have a very small dog. I have a big dog.
How old are they?
Well, I know how. Well,
Jesus, so, how old is, wait, I, how old is he?
How old is he? So his wife is older than him. His wife is I would say 10 years older than him, to be nice. He's not going to listen to this podcast, I hope. They moved from Tehran, Iran. Is that how you call it? Tehran?
Uh-huh.
Iran. 6 months ago, they were living somewhere. They bought this unit. They moved into it. He was telling me about his life in Iran.
Mm-hmm.
And he was telling me about his husband. His husband. Yes. Okay. And then he said, oh, I met my wife. And I said, oh, okay.
So his English is...
His English, he has a thick accent.
Even better.
But he's so hot. So I text my hot couple neighbors. And I'm like, oh, have you met... He goes by Danny, but his name is Daniela.
Okay.
Have you met Danny? Holy smokes, or whatever.
Right.
Last night at 10 o'clock at night, I'll show you on my phone, my neighbor, my sexy hot couple neighbor, texted me and said, I think I just found Danny on Grindr.
No. No. Really?
So I deleted the Grindr app from my phone. So I have to download the app. I log back in. And there's fucking Danny.
Oh,
40 years old, 6'1", 105, this head of hair. He's gay. When he talks to me, he's very good looking. He's too young for me. He's 40 years old. But he talks
he's
very
too old for me.
He talks
too old for you and I'm
no, I mean I'm
so 40, 30s and 40.
But he talks to me very close and you know we're both tall and I was just like
So you think it's an arranged marriage?
Yes. Yes.
Is she American or is she Iranian?
She's from Iran also. But she has lived here. You know, I don't know the whole story.
So, yeah, get
but,
the backstory there because she could be a citizen and then she married him
to have his citizenship.
His citizenship.
Could be. But, oh, when we get done with it,
holy.
I'm going to show
pictures?
You. He has like
Well, show me. Like, did you say before the garage there?
Oh, I didn't favorite him on Grindr.
Favorite him? No. Well, yeah, you favorite.
Yeah.
Yeah, favorite him, then you'll see when he's on or not on.
So I live in a desert of a gay community. There's nobody around. And now there's four of us.
Listen, there's more than that. There's more than that.
There's closeted.
There's more than that. And that's why I think, honestly, people, there's been statistics out there that 10% of the population is gay.
Yeah. And another 10% is closeted.
20%
is low.
So really, you know, what is the ratio? What is the ratio? I don't think it's 10%. I think it's more.
Well, the last census that they did, I think, is 2020. I don't think there's been anything since 2020 when I researched
it. There's been some serious fucking going on. Yeah. That's
why. Well, there's no COVID. Yeah, you're right.
No, seriously. Right. I wonder if that's going to be the next, not the next boomers, because we have baby boomers, and then we have the millennials, right? Aren't they the big, another big surge, I think?
I don't know.
All right. I think I'm going to look. You know, I'll look that up. I'm going to look that up. I'm going to do some research.
All right. You look that up. You're going to bring it to our next.
We'll do that for the generations. Okay.
All right. Well, we're at about 40 minutes. How do you think this is a good time to sign off?
I think so. I think it's a good time. And I'm just looking out the window.
Yeah, I know. I know. Well, yeah, you know, I brought my dog with me today and I was worried he was going to bark at people, but I think he's annoyed with me. So he's looking in the other direction.
Yes.
Yeah.
Thank you, guys.
Thanks, guys.
Take care.
Bye.
Bye.